This is the Fantasy Road Show.
We are live. Welcome in to another episode of the Fantasy Road Show. This episode is brought to you by Rule One Proteins. If you don't know, you probably live in or under a rock by now. Rule One's the best in the business. They got the best protein powder, the best supplements. You name it, they got it. Go check them out at www.ruleoneproteins.com. Please like the video, subscribe to the channel. Go check us out on social media, tags it down here in the video underneath our pictures. And follow the Substack, thefantasyroadshow.substack.com. We got great articles from Shane and Coles going out there every week. So make sure you guys tune into that. You guys know the drill. My name is Truck. I'm joined as also by Coles and Shane O'Mac. And today we got a very special episode for you guys. We are doing sleepers and keepers. This is the heart of the season. We got to let you guys know who is undervalued, who's going to return some value on next year's draft. We got a lot going on, so let's get right into it. Coles, Shane, how you guys doing?
What's going on? I'm doing well. I'm in a new setup, so I don't know. This probably won't last more than one episode, but I'm still trying to figure out the new place, get settled in, unpack all the boxes. I'm back in Austin, so loving the area that I'm in and just ready to get settled into this place.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Good for you. I hope that works out for you, and I hope you find a good spot for the studio to set up. So
The Stooge.
Shane, how about you, buddy? What are you doing?
Pretty good. I think I texted you guys this like a week or so ago, and I forgot to update you on it, but there's a new phenomenon happening here in my part of the world in Kansas, and we are being taken over by hammerhead worms. Oh, and if you don't know
what the hell is a hammerhead worm is,
they literally are a worm with a flattened head, and they are toxic to the touch. And if you smash or cut them up, they multiply instantly. They regenerate and multiply.
What?
Yeah. So that is what's going on in here. You can kill it with like vinegar and salt and other type of chemicals that you can spray on it.
And but how much in abundance are they? Like, are they like right when you walk outside, they're out there or like?
It's only hard. I mean, you parts? Can see. Yeah. You can have to see them, you know, but they can be up to like this long. So they're
noticeably bigger.
Yeah, they're noticeably than a regular worm.
Oh my god, that is like something out of a horror movie.
When I got sent, my brother had sent and texted me a photo of one in his yard and talked about it, and I was like, "What?" And I had to look it up to see if this was really true. And so, yeah,
is this like a new thing? I've never heard of these.
Yeah, it's a new thing, I guess. So, yeah.
Oh my god, new species of worms we got to worry about.
Hammerhead worms taking over.
Oh my god. All right. Well, be safe out there, Shane. Don't be cutting any of those heads off and having them multiply instantly. Like the fact that I want to see it multiply instantly. Are there videos online of this?
I haven't checked, but part of me was wanting to do the same thing too, like chop it up and then video it and see what happens.
I need to see this. And also I'm scared. That's not fun.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are here talking sleepers.
Wait. What's Jax O'Mac's stance on these guys?
Oh, we haven't shared this information with Jax yet. You know.
Oh, he doesn't know about it yet.
No, he doesn't know about this yet. No, he doesn't know about the hammerhead worms.
Imagine kids in school. Why not? Are just going out.
How do they not know?
These in half, I don't know. Watching it multiply.
Maybe this hasn't hit the TikTok yet.
You know what you got to do? You need one of those little spray bottles. Fill it with vinegar. And just keep it on like a holster. And just as soon as you see him, just
wait a second. I was finishing my list. We got to backtrack here a little bit. How do you know about them?
So my brother texted me a photo. I've got photos of it that he found them in his yard. The guy that comes and sprays their house for other bugs and stuff was telling him about it. And that's how he learned about it, that you to kill them with chemical treatment, but smashing them or chopping them up just makes them multiply in nature.
So there's it's not like news yet. Like there's not like an article that broke that was like
there has to
worms in town.
If there is, I have not seen it.
But Monin Mogi, hasn't reported on
it. She has not made a report of that yet.
Hammerhead Worms.
Hammerhead Worms.
Wichita, Kansas.
What to do if you find a hammerhead flat?
I mean, there's plenty of the. Apparently, like last year, it was a thing, or in October. Seeing stuff from October.
Do you see the video or the photo? I mean, it is literally like a hammerhead.
Yeah, I have to look this up now.
It is. I'll send. All right. So. Okay, so it's not like a huge thing. It's just know about this.
I just know about it.
Oh my god, these things look weird.
I know it is. It's interesting.
Okay. All right. Well, that's interesting. Yeah. I was just confused. I was like, there's no way in 2024 that like something's public knowledge and like kids just don't know about it. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, I feel like if these came about and I was in school, I would know about them for sure.
The girl that you had a crush on, you just start smashing hammerheads in front of her to flex.
Okay. Anyway, let's get back on topic. We're talking sleepers and keepers. The very important episode of this off season. We're going to let you guys know who we consider sleepers and keepers. Sleepers, we are identifying. We're going off of sleeper ADP, and it's after pick 100. So
not to confuse everyone, sleeper is – you said – Struck just said sleeper sleepers like and 80 sleeper, times yeah. in like a sentence.
It's very true.
Sleeper is a fantasy platform.
Correct.
Truck's favorite. He loves it. And that is not what we're talking about here today. However, we're using their ADP in order to say our sleepers.
In order to identify their average.
Identify our sleepers. 100, ADP 100 and above is what we're considering sleepers, correct?
Yeah.
100 and below, yeah.
100 and below, yeah.
100 and below, sorry. And then, or higher, I guess I should have said. And then, keepers is, I guess, like essentially it could be considered a late sleeper, but also someone that you can draft depending on your league's sleeper rules that will return value next year based on where they're currently being drafted. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. Keepers in many leagues, it's the rules differ. So, not one league is going to be the same as the other. So we're just going to identify some players that we think are being drafted right now lower than where they're going to be drafted next year and could return some value on that keeper pick. So that's pretty much it, you know. Let's kick it right off. Let's start with quarterbacks. We'll go by position group here. And what better way to kick off the episode than to kick it over to Shane and have him start with his first quarterback sleeper pick of 2024.
Or we can just go with kickers and say Jake Bates.
Yes.
Let's start with it.
Did you like my little breakdown of Jake Bates on Twitter, by the way?
I saw that. I've been tooting the Jake Bates horn for so long, and it's cool to see him start to hit like 60 yarders in practice. Like it's now, a chip shot.
Give a quick breakdown of who Jake Bates is in case the people don't know.
Cole's I don't know. I just saw like some, I don't know anything about his past. I just saw him nailing kicks in the USFL, and kicker's one of those positions where like, if you get hot, you can come from anywhere. Look at Aubrey. No one knew who he was until he became the best kicker in the league. So I think the kicker position as a whole is just evolving to where like these guys are getting super long. It's like one of those things how you're seeing like the evolution of the athlete with technology and with supplementation is just the athletes are getting better and better and like significantly better this as of recent. Look at LeBron James. Mm-hmm. Perfect example. He was like the first one that like genetic freak that grew up with like technology and like a team behind him to take care of his body, whatever. But kickers, you're starting to see it because they're getting so long. And Bates is someone I saw him kick like a couple 50, 60 yarders. He was playing in Michigan, I'm pretty sure, for whatever Michigan USFL team. And I knew the Lions needed a kicker. So I literally have been pumping that up. I probably have a Slack from God knows how long ago. I'll look it up when Shane gives his Bates little hype. But yeah, he's just, you know, ended up getting the call and he's been balling out.
Yeah, he kicked in the UFL last year, multiple game winner, like game winning 58 yarders. He's like Aubrey, like the ease of kicking long ones. It's just a very easy motion, but like
that looks natural.
What I liked about him, and not only his leg, but then he's playing indoors for the third highest scoring team last year. 13 games are indoors for him next year. So that is a good setup for any kickers. So combine the two, he could have like Brandon Aubrey type season.
Well, yeah. And they're going to score points. I'm trying to find older slacked. I'm not going to be able to find it. Wait.
Okay.
June 14th. I sent him June 14th when he got signed. I really want to see when I first said. Anyways, May 8th or later. Can't find it.
Okay. All right. Anyways, Jake Bates, keep an eye Jake on him Bates. for kickers.
Not a sleeper or keeper. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So my quarter.
Yeah. Back. Go ahead. Go.
I'm gonna pass on a couple of guys. I'm gonna let them slide on to you guys. And I'm going to talk about Jared Goff. I think he's at pick 112 overall right now. And looking at him last year, you know, he had, I think it was 6 or 7 top 10 finishes. He was top 5 in touchdown passes and top 5 in passing yards. I think with him, what I like, though, the most is, as opposed to any other quarterback, really, besides maybe in San Francisco, is he gets everything back from last year. So the same offensive weapon, same offensive coordinator who makes the calls, and Ben Johnson. I think Jameson Williams' progression this year will be take a huge step, and he's a huge upgrade over Josh Reynolds and what he'll be able to do. And the schedule is set up nicely. You know, like I had just said about Bates, 13 games indoors. So, it's a nice setup.
That's nice. I didn't even hear that about Bates. I'm too busy looking for my first Bates pump on Slack. You can go ahead and fire him off, Shane. I don't care about you waiting for us. We're going to all talk about him anyways.
I'll reference him, and then I'm going to let you guys break into him. I mean, Caleb and Jaden Daniels, the rookies, are an obvious choices. So, but I'm not going to go into their into why.
Yeah, I don't need too much either besides looping them together. They both looked outstanding in their week one preseason with Jaden Daniels. All I needed to see to get more confident on him was like just in an NFL uniform and looking composed, and like that's what he did. So I would be extremely high on both Caleb and Jaden Daniels. I also am going to be super high on the Redskins and like them kind of just smashing all of their I think they're a team that's I'll probably just say that they're going to be better than your beloved Cowboys and be number 2 in that division. I think if Jaden Daniels looks even like a fraction of he did in preseason, obviously it's not your ones, and teams will get more tape on them and throw more things at them. But, you know, from a just pure talent standpoint, and in fantasy football especially, he's got those cheat codes. You already saw him rush one in. He's going to be outstanding. I'm probably going to push him up my rankings. I already pushed him to 10. He was like at 19, I think, before this. And I could probably see myself even going higher on Jaden Daniels.
Yeah. And then with Caleb Williams, man, he's one of my favorite sleepers right now, being drafted as QB 15, pick 102. And
who? Sorry, I didn't hear you.
Caleb Williams.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, he only completed 4 passes in the preseason game, only threw 7. But what I saw from what I saw is the knock on him was that he never played under center in college. We saw him play under center in this preseason game, and he looked really good doing it. He was able to get out of the pocket on some bootlegs and really make some plays happen, made some very impressive throws. And with this supporting cast, I think he can easily return value on that quarterback 15. I have him inside the top 10. I know Cole's. We've
talked about that. Did you move him? No, you moved him down. You're at it. You have him at 8.
I've had him at eight for a little while, but definitely secured inside the top 10. He's not going anywhere outside of the top 10. I love what his potential is with the Bears this year. I've talked about him enough, and I'll just keep talking about him as the season progresses. So,
Caleb Williams is QB four for me. I don't need to speak more about him. I've done enough Caleb Williams pumping.
Yeah. And then another guy that I want to talk about is Will Levis, quarterback 24, pick 191.
Ooh. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Truck never ceases to amaze me. I've never heard him say a good thing about Will Levis ever.
I just think being drafted as quarterback 24, he's basically going undrafted, pick 191 in most.
So do you think he's leagues. A franchise quarterback?
I think he can show this year that he's a franchise quarterback. I'm not willing to say.
You have to be more convicting in your take. You leave a little bit of gray area. Is he a franchise quarterback or not?
I don't know yet, but I think taking him as quarterback 24 is he's being slept on. I think he can outperform that quarterback 24.
But
I don't
necessarily make it happen this year, or he's not.
Yeah, and I think the likelihood of him making it this year is greater than him not making it this year.
So you still won't commit to a take. You're just going to play both sides of it.
I'm not playing both sides. I just think he's a value. He's being slept on as quarterback 24.
Is he playing both sides, Shane, or am I crazy?
I would have a question. So would you take Will Levis over Bo Nix?
I would take Will Levis over Bo Nix.
Okay.
I would.
Oof. Okay, so Will Levis is a franchise quarterback. I agree with you. I'm not trying to push you on it. I'm trying to push you to make a take.
I'm making a take by saying he's a sleeper. That is my take, is by saying he's a sleeper.
But in doing so, that means that he's going to be successful this year, which means he's going to be their quarterback of the future.
Yes.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, you dragged it out of me. Will Levis is a franchise quarterback.
Well, there's no sense in sitting here and playing both sides. If you're
I don't think I'm playing both sides. I'm identifying him as a sleeper. I didn't think I needed to go about and say that he's a franchise quarterback and he's going to be the quarterback there for the next 6, 7, 8, 9 years.
Means.
That's what that means to you. That doesn't mean that to me.
No, I'm just saying
he's being slept on in the quarterback position. That's what I'm saying. If you want to take it the way you want to take it, that's fine. I didn't think I need to take that hard of a stance on Will Levis. I'm saying that he's a sleeper. Firm enough to make him
a sleeper.
Yes, I'm saying he's a sleeper at that position at where he's being drafted. He's being slept on.
So you're saying like that's a prime QB2 target for you.
Yes.
In a super flex league.
Yes.
Hmm. What was the hum for, Shane O'Mac?
That's a bold take.
That's what we're here to do. Okay. So I have Herbert, I have Lawrence. I mean, those are guys that have already proven what they can do. Herbert, I guess we can consider him a keeper too, thinking that offense is going to get better. Adding more weapons over the offseason. I think you're going to see him do it this year with what he's got there already, even though it's not much. Trevor Lawrence, I think, can actually have like an outstanding year. So I currently have Herbert as my QB11. I have Trevor as QB8. And they're getting drafted around the same. I guess Underdog's a lot different. This has Herbert 119 and Trevor Lawrence 122. I've not seen Herbert go before Lawrence, but
I don't think I have either.
Also don't pay attention to redraft. Did he go? I think he may have this actually in our draft this weekend, but so I have those guys, and then Kirk Cousins and Aaron Rodgers. Those are two guys again who have proven to do it, but they're getting older. I think the Falcons are outstanding, and I think the Jets are going to have a great year as well. So both of those guys, I think they're going to lead very good offenses and both be in the playoffs. If the Jets can if Rodgers is healthy, I think the Jets are in the playoffs. So those are two veterans with new homes, new weapons. I would say probably better weapons than either of them have ever had. Would you guys both agree with that? I would say Rodgers never had outstanding weapons in the with the Packers. You know what I mean?
He always had a number one guy. Majority, which is what you
have in Garrett Wilson, and then Breece Hall is, you know, I don't know that Rodgers has ever had the best running back in the NFL,
or one of, comparable.
I think those two, and then, you know, not like I need to make my list any longer, but Deshaun Watson, Bryce Young.
Yeah, I like that. I like those picks.
I think the key takeaway is, like, even if you're in a 14-team league, like, you should have a solid QB1 option, even if you're waiting late.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think in our draft this weekend, we took Caleb. We kind of jumped on Caleb since we're both high on him, but we'll have him as a keeper for next year. But Trevor Lawrence is someone we might have gotten the last round.
I'm pretty 10-man sure. League, but yeah, like, I'm pretty sure Tua went undrafted. Brock Purdy went undrafted.
Tua was drafted. Tom Payne.
Oh, Tom Payne, of course. Yeah. Maybe it was Dak Prescott. Was Prescott? I think Prescott.
Purdy got drafted as well.
Chris Lagan took him.
Yeah. Anyways, we made one mistake this weekend. Not that we need to talk about our draft. And I mentioned Shane O'Mac. I was like, fuck. Let me pull it up just so I know exactly how far he fell. But Jake Ferguson was like, We had Kincaid as a keeper, so we were just like glazing over him. Like I knew he was there, but then we took a who do we pick? We picked. Where is Ferguson? We picked Ty Chandler. We needed running back depth, so I'm actually not upset that we got Chandler, but as we're swinging around, Ferguson was there in the 14th round. Shane O'Mac.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah,
yeah. We talked about it like right afterwards. Like we probably should have won Ferguson, and then boom.
Literally make the pick, and then we're like, to give you a frame of reference, TJ Hockenson went in the 10th. This is another draft that doesn't really focus on quarterbacks and tight ends. It's 10-man league, so people just know you can shark them on the wire. Mm-hmm. But still, like 14th round Ferguson is pretty egregious. Mm-hmm. Are we good with quarterbacks?
I think so.
Yep. All right,
let's move on to running backs.
Breaking news, JJ McCarthy to miss the season.
Is that official? Really?
Yes.
Holy shit.
Who's ACL did I tell you tore?
You're an asshole. That was Jahmyr Gibbs. He didn't tear his ACL.
When we were mocking, I told Brock that Gibbs, he went down during the mock, and I just basically shelved it for a little bit, and then I was like, no way, Jahmyr Gibbs tore his ACL.
And I was on the clock, and I reacted to it, and I auto-drafted. So that was
this is just surprising because of the – you don't hear a lot about a torn meniscus and missing that much time. A meniscus is, you know, I'm no doctor, but I've known plenty of people with meniscus surgeries. And
yeah, but it would have been longer than you think. I think it's, if you had to get a full blown surgery, it's like a 9-month.
And they're not going to have him come back at the end of the season if they, you know, with the schedule that they have.
Maybe that's, yeah, usually it's just like a trim and not, but maybe it was more severe. Okay.
All right. Good to know. Good to know.
That was fun.
All right. Well, I'll start the running back sleeper segments. The guy on the top of my list, Brian Robinson, running back for the Commanders. He's being drafted as RB 33, pick 111. I got him up in the running back 20. I really, really like what Brian Robinson is able to do with this offense. We just talked about Jaden Daniels and him excelling this offense to a new standpoint. And I think Brian's going to be the main benefactor of that. He's active in the passing game. He's a strong runner. He's big. He's like 6'2". I think Brian Robinson is being slept on at RB 33. And he's, for me, in that range, he's like an auto pick. I love being able to grab him for some depth at running back. Especially when Coles and I are drafting another guy that the beginning of his season is in question, but I'll save that one.
Yeah, I love it how far we have come as a show on Brian Robinson. Like we all hated him last incredible. Year. It has been a full turnaround.
Yeah. To be fair though, like everyone has a value. Every single player has a value, unless your truck and say Kittle's undraftable. And like all I needed to see was I just didn't think Brian Robbins. I thought he was going to be in that long line of Alabama backs that are behind the best line in college and the best weapons at receiver around them, and just in a well-oiled machine that just churns out championships. Like I just thought they were a product of that, kind of like the quarterback, like your Mac Jones, your AJ McCarron, like just all these guys that you, if you like watch football and can evaluate talent, you know that they're just duds. I thought he was another one of those guys. A Bo Scarborough, perfect example. Thought he was a Bo Scarborough, but then you start to see some of the stuff he does, and you know, you see a little bit of his character getting shot and then coming up back out on the field. Like he obviously wants to be great. And then you see like him catching balls and like some of the runs he breaks out on. And I was quick to take that back. And then now you have the market showing how cold they are on the Commanders, on the Redskins this year. And he just fits in perfectly because, you know, is Eckler, is he aged? Is he going to be rejuvenated on a new team? Like we still don't know, but it's not going to be the Eckler that got the workload that he used to. So Robinson is just, you know, perfect storm for a guy in his prime to carry most of the workload on a team that's going to massively outperform expectations. And that's why the market is just like, you know, the way it is for them. I have him as my RB16. I didn't put him as a keeper because the list I was looking at, he was right on the fringe, but I'm super bullish on Robinson. And I would co-sign Truck's take all day.
Beautiful. Shane, what do you got?
I'm going to stick with a guy I've been on since for a long time now. And that's Gus Edwards, 113 overall. I think he's at RB 38. I think I've got him ranked 10 spots ahead of there. I'm not buying the J.K. Dobbins reclamation project again, where he feels 100%. I just don't feel the first half of the year he comes in and has given a lot of carries. You know, Edwards had, you know, 13 touchdowns last year. He was a top 25 guy. And that was with he didn't get average more than 11 carries a game. So I think for those first six games, I think you're looking to see he gets maybe 14 carries a game. He'll probably have the goal line role locked up. That team's going to run the ball a lot. His strength of schedule for running back is like the third easiest in the league. And so I think he's just set up. He would be a perfect guy if you've gone wide receiver heavy, quarterback early, tight end early, or you want to draft Jonathan Brooks for the second half of the season. You draft Gus Edwards to cover you for the first 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah. Looking at rushing touchdowns for Gus Edwards right now on DraftKings Sportsbook. Gus, like he's going to have the opportunity and like probably the workload. If you have the same take as Shane O'Mac, then he's definitely like, you know, if JK's just can't like not a freak of nature and somehow looks like he can have explosiveness still, which kind of just defies all odds. So as I say it, it's like, seems ridiculous, but,
yeah,
he should have the full workload. So, you know, I think that's the only thing that's saving him. I don't know that he has a ton of talent, but he does look like in an offense that kind of like prioritizes running the ball and probably put him in good, you know, good positions. He's going to get you the yards that are in front of him. So if those touchdown numbers are high, I'm not seeing the number on DraftKings, I guess probably because like there's still so much uncertainty with J.K. Dobbins, but I don't know. I This is one of the things. If you can solve the mystery of who is going to have production for the Chargers this year, and Gus Edwards is the likely candidate, then you're going to be sitting in a spot with a smash value. So, you know, I see where Shane's take is coming from. I have a, me and Truck own a lot of J.K. Dobbins. We own a lot of Gus Edwards. So we're just kind of like planning, you know, as I just mentioned, with there's going to be value in that backfield. Like we're, especially because they're going to establish the run so Herbert can throw. Like it's just a no-brainer that there's going to be production in that backfield. It's just,
yeah,
we don't, you know, we all felt so like weird taking Gus and then JK, like what is he even doing there? But I have JK Dobbins down with a star next to his name because of like exactly what I just said. If he somehow looks explosive even a little bit or like stays healthy, like if that somehow happens, then he's going to be a huge value and you're just kind of throwing a dart that late anyways. It may be worth to throw at JK Dobbins. That being said, like as I was saying it out loud earlier, I expressed how ridiculous and just like unrealistic it sounds. So yeah, the Chargers backfield is going to have value. You just need to find it, and could definitely be Gus. Definitely. I kind of put him as like a Zamir White where it's going to be touchdown dependent, you know? But if you're confident that he's going to score over 10 touchdowns, then go ahead and grab him, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. Another guy I wanted to mention too, Ray Davis, running Ray. Back for the Bills. Looks like he's going to be winning that RB2 role. I expect him to. He's being drafted as RB60, pick 182, very, very late in drafts. And to me, I think he can fill that role that the Bills have been looking to fill for quite some time. You know, we saw a lot of work going to Latavius Murray last year. They brought in Leonard Fournette. That didn't really work out. But they don't want – they're not going to have James Cook take 100% of this workload. And – you know, I think Ray Davis could really take some early down role, you know, kind of a thumper, so to speak. So I like Ray Davis late in drafts. I think he could have some sneaky upside on this season and fill the role that they've been looking to fill for quite some time.
I was looking how he – what did you say he was, 182? I have no idea what list I'm looking at. So I thought we were all looking at the same – We're apparently not because – I have Ray Davis at 160. That was standard scoring, and now it's 163. So it's just – oh, no, 163, and I had standard scoring on. So then I flipped to PPR, and he was 219, which – so Truck wasn't using that one either, but whatever.
Well, he's got 182 if you're sorted by the sleeper column.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it still says 219 on PPR scoring, old PPR. Sleeper column, Ray Davis, 219. Oh, you have overall.
Yeah, still, overall.
So it says overall right there. You might be on half PPR. Let me check. This is just
it's full PPR, pick 182.
Yeah, that's not what my link says. My link says 219. This is 198 on half. I don't fucking know what's going on here. Anyways, so I agree. I have Ray Davis. I think he's going to be awesome. He's going to be like the Lat Murray 2.0. He's a lot more explosive at this point than where Lat Murray was last year. And then I also saw a little bit of receiving upside in the preseason game that I didn't really even think existed that much, but he looked good receiving the ball. So he's, you know, I'm getting close to being on the fading the public and saying that the Bills are going to win the Super Bowl this year. I pretty much say it every year, but
we did say that a lot last year.
But I think the weapons and like how year two in Brady's offense and just how like their weapons come together and fit, it looks like they're going to be a real good fit. Like Keon, Samuel, and Shakir are all so different. And I think Allen's going to be able to get their best out of them. And then if there's just going to be like a camaraderie in the room where they're like, let's just go prove everyone fucking wrong. We have Josh Allen, and that they just go on an absolute killing spree this year. So give me every piece of that offense, because currently baked in the market is it's a down year for the Bills. And it'll be fun to just shove it up everyone's ass all year.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Davis last year, the Bills had, I think it was 22 running back carries inside the five.
Yeah.
Latavius Murray had 4 touchdowns.
Yeah. So, I mean, people were picking up Latavius Murray.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
If that replicates itself, like, I could see Ray Davis having 6 touchdowns on the year.
Yeah. I think even more, because the other thing we saw out of him that we've been seeing in camp is that he's got like big playability. He's a breakaway runner. Like Latavius Murray, if he ever got through the running backs or through the linebackers, he wasn't like making a move and housing it. He's just didn't have that. Ray Davis does. So you might even be able to sprinkle in a couple like big plays. I think he's going to have an outstanding year, because there's a legitimate role there. You know what I mean? Like, that's what we saw with Lat Murray. If we learned anything, they could stick out. Like, that's why people were super excited on Fournette. They're like, this is Fournette's dream role late in his career, if he doesn't sit around and eat Chinese food with Eddie Lacy all the time, you know? So I love it. I love Tyrone Tracy. I don't even want to reference the ADP anymore, because I know it's just bullshit. But I have Tyrone Tracy. I thought he looked outstanding in preseason. Rico Dowdle is someone that I think is just going to be, I'm drafting a ton of Rico Dowdle right now. Just because I think he's going to, I hate saying Uncle Rico Dowdle is going to be a smash, but I think like we haven't heard anything with Zeke, so he's clearly not in great shape. And Dowdle is like, could be just good enough to get some serious production in one of the better offenses in the NFL. That being said, like, I'm not completely sold on that. It's not going to be a disaster of a year for the Cowboys, because like, we still haven't signed CeeDee Lamb. We still have, like, there's rumors going around that like Shedeur Sanders might be on the Cowboys radar. That Jerry Jones really wants Shedeur to be a Cowboy. Like, I could see Jerry just shooting himself in the foot and having way too much drama in the building, and that just being one of those disaster years for a franchise. So that would be my only thing to pump the brakes on drafting Cowboys, is I'm not really sold that they're going to put it all together before the end of the year, before the year starts, which I'm sure Shane O'Mac could speak more on.
CeeDee Lamb will be signed before week one. Don't worry about
that. Yeah, but like, that could still be too close. Like, I just, he's good and the team's good, but the NFL is a hard league. And if CeeDee shows up and he's not like already in the offense, in that, you know, they haven't changed that much from last year, but still, like, all these other teams are preparing every week with all their guys in house. If CeeDee Lamb just expects to show up and the entire offense gel and play, you know, play like they did last year, I don't know that it's that easy. So I don't know. That's my only worry. And it's not a big one, because I agree with Shane. I just want it to get done sooner than later. Like, why even, what are we stalling for? I don't get it. I just think that's so stupid, because you're setting your team up for drama that shouldn't have to exist.
Well, it's the same thing that's going on in Cincinnati, right? Chase is doing, he's sitting out, he's in camp, but he's not practicing. So it's the same situation. Both guys anyway would never play preseason games anyways.
Well, so Chase has already been practicing, and I think his is more like just wanting to get the deal done, like where like I think they know the deal is getting done. They just, you know, where how does this fit in with what they currently have? Whereas like, I think Jerry Jones is kind of just taking like a pretty posturing type of approach of being like,
we're in no rush to get this done. You're missed, but he's not being a dumbass.
Like, I literally think for the Bengals, it's just like, let's look at everything on the wall and let's get it together. Like, let's piece everything together and get it to make sense. Whereas, they're playing fucking games and it's just classic cowboy drama bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
So that's where my worry is. But, you know,
Rico Dowdle, great sleeper pick.
Yeah. Ty Chandler, I've talked about him. I think he's going to be a 1B to Jones's 1A. You know, they said something like that earlier, but I think Chandler's a lot better than people realize. Ty J. Spears, kind of the same reason. I think he's going to outperform Pollard. So late, super crazy late, like, sleeper is Trey Sermon, who I've mentioned that he, like, God forbid anything happens to Jonathan Taylor, he's someone that could actually, like, step in and perform at top 15 level. And I don't know that there's a ton of those backs that exist, like injury dependent handcuffs that could be, you know, how in the past, like when things weren't as RB1, like workhorse back. Now we're seeing the, like, two man show a lot. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, you used to have these, you'd get these handcuffs, like injury dependent handcuffs, where we don't really see Pollard. Like, we don't really see that anymore because backfields are more split nowadays. So you're finding value in two backs in one backfield. Now it just doesn't exist like it used to, right? So I would put Trey Sermon in that bucket of, like, he'll be on the field whenever Taylor needs a breather. Taylor is the workhorse, but if anything happens to him, I think Sermon is, like, talented enough to still make that offense go.
I feel like Braylon Allen is in that bucket too. You know?
Yeah, for sure. I think he would be great. It's just, it's very hard to, it's also, I think the, yes, I, that, that's a good point. That's a, another good comparison. I just think Breece Hall is, like, for whatever reason, more irreplaceable than Jonathan Taylor, even though, like, maybe he's not. I really think Breece Hall is a fucking ridiculous player. I'm so close to bumping him up to RB1 like Shane did. I'm actually pissed that Shane did it first, because I've been thinking about it for so long, and, like, even on underdog drafts, I've been taking, like, split, like, 50-50 basically, like,
yeah,
between the two of Bijan and Breece. But I'm good on running backs. That's all I got.
Yeah. Do you guys want to mention any keepers that you had in mind? I just to mention a few. Nick Chubb being drafted where he is, if everything works out for him and he recovers from this injury, he could return some value on next year's draft. He's someone I'd be looking at. And of course, Coles, you didn't mention Jonathan Brooks.
Because he's not 100 in my list.
Well, just as a keeper, I figured he would be, you know, we drafted him as a keeper.
I define it differently, so I didn't even think about it that way.
Okay. All right. Shane, did you have any other ones you want to mention?
Sleeper wise, I'm in on Dowdle also. Listen, if you are still drafting Zeke over Rico Dowdle, please stop right now. Don't do it.
Stop. Public service announcement. Stop drafting Zeke over Rico.
It's a big ADP difference, and you're not even probably going to be drafting the RB1 on the team. The other guy would be Jerome Ford. I think Chubb's starting on the PUP list. Foreman's had injury issues already in camp. I think Ford at the beginning of the year will be set up nicely. That could be another guy. If you draft Jonathan Brooks, you could be sliding Ford in there for the first 4 weeks and be fine. Keeper-wise, I like Marshawn Lloyd just because now he's got injury issues now, but at some point in the time, if he looks good this year, that Josh Jacobs contract is really just four individual one-year deals that the Packers can get out of after each year. So if they want to save some money next year and Lloyd looks really good, he could be set up as the RB1. And then probably my favorite keeper after Jonathan Brooks is Trey Benson. James Conner, I think, is in the final year of his deal. And Benson has got like that three down capability that he showed in college. And I think he'll be set up on a good enough offense to be, you know, a pretty highly productive running back next year.
Yeah. And then someone else I want to mention to you made me think of him, Jalen Wright in Miami. I think this could be Mostert's last season. He's getting up in age. I think he's like 32 now. And Jalen Wright could fit into a nice spot there alongside Devon Achane. So
is his contract up?
I'd have to double check on his contract.
I think he signed to a 2-year deal this past year, but I'm sure it's an easy get out of after 1 year if they wanted to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with Lloyd. I think he's honestly like, I'm not a Josh Jacobs guy. I just think he's got so many miles on that tank that I think Marshawn Lloyd, I think he will be back this year, like playing at a high level at some point this year. Mm-hmm. You know, that probably dings him, pushes him back a few weeks, and I'm sure they're going to want to make sure his hammy is it's healthy before they bring him back. But I expect him to be back within the first couple games of the year. And
yeah, I mean,
strong. So I like that a lot. What's Kyren's deal? Like Blake Corum's someone that I think they would sign Kyren, but they would use Corum as negotiation power, being like, you know, we don't necessarily need you. Sorry.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So that would be something if like McVay doesn't think he can pay the running back position and thinks he's got a guy with the same skill set, if not better, than Kyren, that would be interesting. So yeah. And then Brooks, I didn't include him because he wasn't 100. I searched every list I could to try to get him there, but 92 is the best I could do. But yeah, I think, you know, he's going to be a league winner. So next year he's going to be a top 3-round draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
In an offense that's going to be much, much better. So I think he's a smash.
And keeper-wise, like, even though I don't like him this year, I'm not going to be buying into him. If it's a last-round pick or free agent pickup, that's where I think you might take a shot on Dobbins for a keeper for next year. If for some reason he doesn't have an injury this year, then next year he's a full 2 years removed from that injury where you'd start to see the productiveness come back and that explosiveness. And so now you could be looking at somebody that might be worth hanging on to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is there any value in Royce Freeman?
No.
He's a dead man.
No. He could be blanking on the guy's name that they signed from Tampa Bay last year in the preseason.
Ronald Jones.
And then ends up getting cut before the season starts.
Some of these names I haven't heard.
What about Miles Sanders? Is he going to be a Cowboy?
There's a chance. I would say there. I would put it at a 60% chance that they do sign somebody, whether if it's Sanders, Pierce, if for some reason CEH gets let go in Kansas City.
Well, Herbie.
I think Herbert. Yeah, one of those guys.
I don't think Herbert, from my understanding, Herbert's not going anywhere.
Probably not.
No, I'm starting to think he's going to settle in as an RB2.
Yeah, probably not.
Over Roshan?
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now with it.
Interesting. There's a ton to play out there. I think it's just those three guys, you know. I think that's what the Bears are going to be looking at. No one said Bucky Irving's name. All right. Well, Kamani Vidal, there's some truthers out there.
No.
I think
I'm off on that train.
I'm sure you could find a bit from me at the beginning of the year, saying how ridiculous that take was, but I don't
that and Dylan Lobb.
Lobb. Have you guys Lobb seen a lot of the other one? Those two. Yeah. Yeah.
Have you seen a lot of talk about Jordan Mason after the 49ers game?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he looks good. I think he's probably, I don't know if he's going to take the RB2 role for sure, but, you know, it's I'm sure it's Mitchell's to lose, but if he
just looks way better, then there's, what are you going to do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sweet. All right. You guys good to move on to wide receivers? Coles, why don't you kick it off? What do you got for wide receiver?
17 names I have written down, Chuck.
Jeez, this isn't the tied in red light, green light episode.
No, I know. I just put
sleepers.
I just like, yeah, the way that I view fantasy now is so much different that
the
more
the merrier. Give people the, you know, players to put on their radar, right?
Yeah. So yeah, for sure. I'll just start with LSU Taiga, BTJ.
Yes, that's what I was waiting for you to start with.
Yeah, I mean, like, I literally just read a tweet that said, a beat writer at camp that said, I don't think there's a corner in the league that Brian Thomas can't beat deep. So supposedly he's just like dusting everyone that we're starting to see those joined practices. So you're seeing other teams come in with their top dogs and supposedly he's just beating everyone deep. They're like, if he literally has hands better than Quentin Johnson, he's gonna, you know, have a massive year. So I love to hear that with BTJ. I think it's something Trevor needed, right, Shane? Like, he's that deep ball is something that he's kind of missed, I guess, like that dynamic in the offense.
Yeah.
So to get an alpha one like BTJ, if he can put it together and not have like too many rookie learning, you know, bumps in the road, I think he can be an absolute smash.
I love that pick.
And then Keon again, I'm sure that's a unanimous pick on the podcast in terms of just like, you know, we've been talking about him since before the draft. I think I had him ahead of Roma Dunze. He was like my wide receiver three pre-draft.
I think he was, yeah.
And that was after the combine. Everyone was shitting on him. And then, you know, Rome, just him being Caleb's piece is what jumped him. But Keon literally got as good of a landing spot as he possibly could have gotten. And I moved them below Rome, which goes to say what I think about Caleb, right? But Keon is probably going to be wide receiver one. I don't know. Like, I just want every piece. I also have Samuel and Shakir on this list because, like, I literally just want the entire offense because where they're getting drafted, there's a ton of value. I think what you saw in Samuel is he's going to be a massive part of the offense. And then what you saw with Lil Shaker, like, he's reliable. He has run after catch ability. You saw him literally just like run around and beat them up down the sidelines. So like Josh Allen's looking for his guys right now. And I think all of them are going to play a huge role. So to say that they're sleepers is crazy, but they're literally being slept on by everyone. Cause for whatever reason, they just think the Bills are going to have a down year, like the market, you know?
Yeah. I think Coleman, I'm locked from week one. I think he's the number one targeted receiver on the team. Like, I just think his skill set is so much different than what they have that it's going to just stand out. And it's going to be.
And I think they all three complement each other really well, too. You know?
Yeah. He's a football player. Like, that's what the combine tends to miss is like some of these guys are just football players. And that's what Keon is and always has been. That's why he was a stud. That's why he was the number one receiver in a offense with Jaden Reed at Michigan State. And that's why he went to Florida State and all he did was catch touchdowns and punts because they're like, we just want him to have the ball always because he's a football player, you know, and Josh Allen knows that better than anyone, right? Like that's what Josh Allen is. That's the fucking identity of that Bills team and offense is like, let's just put up big numbers. Trust Josh Allen's arm and his legs and his decision making, and let's just fucking run people off the field. And that's, you know, that's what Keon is. So I think you're gonna see like him kind of really take that identity to heart. And like Shane said, like, you know, it's tough. Some people don't feel good drafting rookies because of the unknown. Well, that could also play in your favor by him being, you know, a top
10 quarterback this year.
Absolutely.
Or wide receiver. Oh, I'm so stupid.
I know. I got what you were saying. One of my sleepers is somebody we've talked about in extent this entire offseason, Jahan Dotson.
Yeah,
wide receiver 65, very, very late in drafts. Jahan. And that, you know, I'm very big on Terry McLaurin as well. So, you know, Jahan Dotson, I think with Jaden Daniels, he's going to have a much better season than he's had last year. Last year, he dealt with very inconsistent quarterback play with Sam Howell. And I think Jaden's really going to bring out the best in Jahan Dotson. And he's being drafted so late. I love him as a depth piece in my wide receiver room.
You know what I love about best ball is that, like, I'm going to be just so tuned in to every Redskins and Broncos game this year and just be, like, so fucking excited. Like, Bills, yeah. Like, it's just so fun. I have Dotson written down as well, especially if he's in the slot. We've seen what Kingsbury offenses do with the slot position. I think, you know, I think part of him being in the slot isn't necessarily, like, that's his job. But I think he's in the mix to win that job, and I think he's talented enough to win it. So he definitely needs to continue to ball out this preseason to win that job. But, like, if Jaden Daniels looks like he did this weekend, you're going to want every piece of that offense you can get your hands on. So just spam the draft button when you see him, McLaurin. I don't know about Sinnott and Ertz. I'm a little hesitant to pull the trigger on either of them because I could see them both being good to where they just kind of nerf each other fantasy-wise. But
yeah, Sinnott looked really good in the preseason so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, give me B-Rob, give me Dotson, give me McLaurin for sure.
Yeah, and then another guy on a team that I usually don't like drafting players from, but Pop Douglas. Pop Douglas is going too late. He's going in that same range, that wide receiver 69 range. And I mean, he's such a good wide receiver. He's such a good athlete that I think he's going to be the one that brings out some value fantasy wise in a team that overall is going to be struggling.
Yeah. Same sleeper, Pop Douglas. I think he was a keeper of mine last year.
Definitely was.
And I just, still on the Pop train. Like, he had a little bit of a hand issue, I think it was. He's back on the practice field, and he had Quinion from the Eagles.
Mitchell from
Toledo. Yeah, Quinion Mitchell, like, supposedly looks like an absolute stud. He supposedly looks like just everything that all the hype that we heard about Quinion Mitchell. And then, of course, he fucking falls to the Eagles. Like, only the Eagles will get lucky enough to have a guy who's top 10 talent fall to him.
Yeah.
But supposedly he looks insanely good. And Pop Douglas comes back on the practice field after taking a week off and supposedly gave him his welcome to the NFL moment and just made him look like a fool all day on the field. So that's just, like, that's Pop, man. Like, I think he's just a baller. Like, kind of like we said about Keon, like, I think he's just a fucking baller. So he should be the alpha in that wide receiver room and just kind of hopefully Polk and Baker, you know, respect that and let him, like, fall in line and just, like, let's learn from this guy. And then maybe in a year or two from now, like, we're all over the Patriots because Drake May's the real deal and they have three stud receivers that just kind of all play together well. But I think it starts with Pop for sure.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Last year in the first six games, he only had 10 catches. And then, like, second half of the year, he was, like, at a 22% target share, and just the crap he was dealing with at quarterback. Like, yeah, even if it's Jacoby Brissett, that is a huge upgrade of what they were throwing out there last year with Bailey Zappi and Mac Jones. And so,
definitely. Yeah, which I think people sometimes forget that, right? Like, so the talent's there. It's all we hear about. Now, if they have any kind of consistency in their offense and quarterback position, then there we go. I do think they're going to be bad, like Truck said. So it's tough to just be, like, super bullish on a guy. Like that, but he's going to be someone that's, you know, a bright spot in that team.
Yeah.
Shane, what about you? Who do you got on your list, Shane?
Well, I'm going to go with one of my guys, JMO, Jameson Williams, 110.
Take a shot at JMO.
Where's my James?
You know, where is it?
I don't have it. I don't
okay. Have it. You know, all camp, like, good, they've been talking about, like, moving him around in different spots, and, like, they are just up in his different route exposures of routes run compared to this first 2 years. And I think a lot of people forget, like, there's 60-something targets and 45 catches, and I think it was 5 or 6 touchdowns is gone from last year of Josh Reynolds. And I'll say it once again, it's a common theme for drafting Lions players, 13 games indoors. And when you're dealing with Jameson Williams, who relies on speed, that's a factor, you know, that you consider.
I really hope the Lions are awesome this year so that, like, we can put on Shane O'Mac's gravestone someday. Like, 2024, 13 games indoors.
This has to be the most indoor games that a team has played in the length of a season, right? Yeah, I mean, that seems like a lot of games indoors.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. So. And I think, like, when I was looking at their schedule breakdown, they've only got, I think, one cold weather game to end the season with. I think it's either in Chicago or in Green Bay, and that's it.
Well, no one's happier about it than Shane O'Mac, for sure.
Yep.
13 games.
13 indoors. Games. Yep. And then the only other guy I'm going to mention is JSN. He's right at pick 100, so he's right on the borderline.
Literally just circled him when you said that.
You know, it pains me to see this, but crazy. I think, like, my fellow K-State graduate, Tyler Lockett, is just on the wrong side of production. You know, last year,
fucking hammerheads got to him, bro.
I know, he tried to, like, just kill him, and, you know,
yeah,
you know, he had record lows in receiving yards and yards per catch, and, like, his down the field catches, everything was really down for him. You know, so I think this year you're looking at JSN, like, taking a firm hold of that number two job, as Tyler Lockett is going to be 32 this year.
Yeah, I think his breakouts for sure, or I was just going to say why it's not for sure, but I think his breakout is this year because of his talent. It's just so good, and, like, someone that good doesn't have 2 years off. That being said, like, I hate Geno Smith, so I think they need to go to Sam Howell sooner than later. And are they going to do that? I don't know. But yeah, I think the sooner the Seahawks move on from Geno, the more I can finally like all their fantasy pieces, because, like, I love Ken Walker. I love the camp hype that, or the coach speak we're hearing about from camp. I love DK Metcalf. You know, and I love JSN. I just think they're held back by the quarterback position. And not that I think that Howell is, like, the guy. I just think Geno is that shitty. So, and that keeps me off of them, you know? So I do have JSN down on my list as well. That's my one worry.
And don't forget, like, he started off the year with that wrist injury. So, like, he wasn't getting targeted a bunch, but he still ended up with 63 catches for the year last year. Like, that's pretty good considering the situation he was in.
Yeah. I mean, he's a 100 catch, 1,000 yard, 8 touchdown guy. It's just a matter of when that comes. Like, he's basically a Jalen Waddle, right? So hopefully it comes sooner than later. I'm worried about the quarterback position. Someone that I have on here, which is more of a keeper than a sleeper, but probably both, I guess. And this is because I think that Ayuk is going to re-sign. I really do think Ayuk's going to be a Niner now. From what I understand, the Niners went up in price. And I just think, why wouldn't you want to play for a team that you just went to the Super Bowl with, if they're even close in monetary value? So, if that's the case, then I like Roman Wilson to get back from his little injury and be the number two for the Steelers. And I just think, like I said, with Keon, he's a football player. And if he's going to be the number two for that team, then he's going to take that opportunity and run with it. So, you know, is that week one because of the injury? I don't know. Is it, you know, later in the season? Maybe. But he's a guy that you can get basically for free now. And I think
you have the injury and then you have the Ayuk news, which has just completely crushed his ADP. So there's just so much value out there right now for Roman Wilson. I think I've been drafting him in underdog in like the 17th or 18th round. Like, that's just insane. So yeah, I like Roman Wilson. Do you guys really want me to just rattle off my entire
just, list here? Yeah, Mr. 17 sleepers, rattle them off. What do you got?
Rapid fire.
Jermaine Burton, that's a guy that, you know, is it him or Josivas? I also have Josivas on my list, but like, where do those two fit in? Who kind of rises out of those two? I think Josivas has a role. I think they really like him, and I think Burton is the better receiver talent, and then also like in the future for the team. So I think Burton's, I don't know like which, let's just put those two together in terms of like one of those two, or if one of those two is going to be very relevant this year, and then when Higgins, if he's not on the team next year, then they're both going to be outstanding next in the year following. So I think Burton eventually becomes a wide receiver too on the team. But yeah, I love any Bengal this year. So both of those guys, Mims, Corley, Wandale Robinson, Jonathan Mingo is an interesting name. I'll talk about him in a second. Tolbert, and then deep sleeper, Johnny Wilson, the Eagles. So yeah, Corley is starting to kind of, you're starting to hear his name more and Rodgers go to him more. So, you know, I've saw a couple highlights today, a couple touchdown highlights today of Corley. Mingo is someone that like, I think everyone forgot about him and just assumes that he sucks, but he's kind of in the same position as Bryce Young. Like he was a first round draft pick for good reason. And that offense is not figured out yet. So people just forgot about him and assuming that Leggett for whatever reason is like so much better than him. But in reality, like Mingo has the same opportunity to succeed as Leggett. And I'm not sold that Leggett's the better player. So, Mingo, I think is another free dart that has the same opportunity. And I think he's actually very good. So I liked what I saw from last year too. Like he catches the ball, runs hard, and is very physical. And when you have Deontay Johnson as your other receiver, you need someone that's that physical on the field. So he's gonna be on the field. Tolbert, I've talked about him since last year. And then Johnny Wilson is just like could be a touchdown machine for the Eagles, a red zone target touchdown machine. And that's all 17.
Okay. I'll fire off a couple more I had written down. This is someone that people are kind of waking up on, if you so to speak, Dontavian Wicks. After we saw his preseason game, had that, 65-yard touchdown with Jordan Love. I just think this Packers offensive wide receiver room is kind of, you know, still up in the air. Jaden Reed is a great option. We saw him have a lot of production last year. Christian Watson is what some people expect to be the wide receiver one. But with Romeo Doubs, you hear that he's the favorite target. But, you know, Wicks, he just looks good on film. Like when you watch the games, he's a good wide receiver. He gets open and he catches the ball. So he's someone that people are starting to wake up on. You know, I heard of him referred to a lot in our draft over the weekend. A lot of people mentioned his name later on in the draft. And then two players kind of in the same range, Brandon Cooks and Jerry Jeudy. With as much as the Cowboys are going to be throwing the ball this year with the bad running room, I think Brandon Cooks could really outproduce that wide receiver 57 range that he's being drafted. And then Jerry Jeudy, you know, he's kind of a forgotten name because of his failed experiment in Denver with a subpar quarterback play over there. And Jerry Jeudy could, you know, if Deshaun Watson kind of figures it out, if I know it's a big if, Jerry Jeudy could fit into that role as that wide receiver too, and kind of outproduce him. But those are the names I kind of just,
I love how far you've come on Jeudy.
It was one best ball draft and you're just like, dude, like we like Amari Cooper. Do you think Deshaun Watson figures it out this year? I'm on the stance of, yes, I do think he figures it out this year. Okay. Well, Jerry Jeudy is wide receiver too. he was excellent coming out of college, yeah. You know, good talent. It's like, you know, put two and two together, Judy could be a value right now.
Yeah, there's a lot not to like about Judy, what he's done in the NFL this so far, and it's just his attitude and everything combined. But, you know, I think that he's sometimes these guys, especially as much talent as he has, find that new home and they kind of have, you know, they kind of have a you know, rejuvenation. So that could be him.
By the way, Cooks from week 8 on last year was the wide receiver 15 in fantasy.
Yeah, Cooks. I was going to say something about that as well. So Cooks, like, for sure, he's just someone that everyone's been saying is going to fall off. And, like, what I'm about to say is exactly that. But he just never does, right? He just continues to ball out. And that's, like, I think, you know, I'm not – anti-Cooks at all. I think he's great value, and I think whoever the second receiving option, you know, it might be Ferguson, but whoever is second 2/3 receiving option from the Cowboys is going to be solid, because Dak's going to throw the ball a million times a game. And I think some games it's Cooks, and I think some games it's Tolbert, and that's why I like both of those guys.
Yeah. And then one guy I was surprised you didn't have on your list,
Mike Williams.
Darnell Mooney. Oh.
Mooney. No.
Darnell Mooney, you know.
Mike Williams, I like him. Mooney. Yeah. I like Mooney. I think
there's a lot of late wide receivers that we like, put it that way. A lot of guys going after wide receiver 50 that are, you know, someone that we're targeting
later on. I really like AT Perry. I think
He looked good in that preseason game too.
Unfortunately, he's like hurt or something. Something happened with him. And let's see. Yeah, I keep getting distracted, but that's kind of what I like. I don't know.
Yeah. Shane, are you good? Are we going to move on to
tight ends? I am good. I would just make one note on a keeper, like, you know, because we talk about keepers are who we project to really have a jump in round they're drafted in next year. And I think the prime guy in, which would make, if I'm in a keeper league, I don't mind jumping for him in like round 5 or 6, because I think next year he'll be drafted in round 3, and that's Rome. Like, I think there's a good shot either Keenan Allen's not back with the Bears next year, or Rome has just proven to be that good, and we see a 3-round jump for him next year. So
yeah, he's gonna do it this year. I think.
Love that. I love
I like someone that got a lot of hype this past week because of their game and because we saw Puka emerge last year, but like Jordan Whittington. I don't know if he's got the talent, like just pure talent, but he's someone that I watched a million times last year at UT, and he's a football player. Like I mentioned, like he used to play running back. They, because of Jonathan Brooks, they moved him into the slot, kind of a do it all type of guy. Mm-hmm. And who does McVay love, but someone that can kind of do it all because he knows he can get creative with him. So, you know how McVay gets, if when he gets turned on to someone, he just like finds ways to maximize their talent. So someone like Whittington, who's such a smart, high IQ football player, mm-hmm. you can see that happen to him. It's just, will they have enough room on that offense to do so? I don't know, but yeah, I really like his name as well.
Okay. All right. Well, let's move on to tight ends. Wrap this up. We got, I have, 5 sleeper tight ends. The first one I want to talk about, Pat Freiermuth. Someone I've been talking about pretty lengthy this off season, being drafted as tight end 15. I think with the wide receiver room without, Brandon Ayuk going there. So just as is, and Roman Wilson coming back, I think there's a lot of opportunity for the tight end to be very, heavily targeted in this offense. We've seen Freiermuth come in clutch in the preseason or in the last year's season as well. He's someone I'm looking at if I want to draft a second tight end, or if I'm just waiting and drafting a tight end very, very late in drafts.
Yep, I think that's a perfect one. Also, like Arthur Smith just loves to target the tight ends when he's calling plays. I think it was what I wrote about is like over the last 5 years, the target share has been like 25% or above for tight ends in his offense. So, and like Cole said, we all think maybe now Ayuk's staying, so that helps out Muth, you know, what we
really think. You think that as well, Shane?
I do. Yep.
I'm on the same page as that too.
Yeah. I drafted a couple shares of Ayuk in the third in best ball because like he's getting drafted and like he's no longer a early second rounder. He's getting pushed out to the third. So
yeah, that's a good spot then.
Yeah.
I like it.
I love Muth, Hockenson, for obvious reasons as a keeper. Greg Dulcich, anyone?
I was waiting for it.
No, yeah, you got it. Like I said, you Greg. Have a copyright notice on Greg Dulcich.
Greg
Nobody else on the show the can sitch. Speak of him.
On the show or on the internet?
Probably both, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Dulcich and JT Sanders are two guys that I have on my list. I think JT, for the same reason of Mingo, is there's just so much production. Same reason as Brooks, too. I guess all the Panthers that I have on the list this year, but ton of production. I think he's good enough to have like a legit pass catching role for that team. And then Dulcich for I just can't keep saying it all year. I'll do it. I'll save it for the my guys. I'll save the big like Pat McAfee WWE hype. Like
I can't wait.
We chop it up into a short bit for that.
I love it. couple of the guys I have on my list. Isaiah Likely, tight end 18. Tyler Conklin, tight end 20. Mike Gesicki, tight end 25. Really think he could have a big year with the Bengals. Back to the well. Back to the well with Mike Gesicki. Look, I mean, in previous years, Joe Burrow just doesn't target his tight ends. But I think Mike Gesicki is the best tight end that he's had so far in his career, and I'm really excited for that potential as I have yard work going around. Can you guys hear that?
Yeah.
Nice. But I'll pass over to Shane. Shane, what do you got for tight ends?
I've got it. Tyler Conklin's my guy. You know, 194 is where he's sitting at now. Like I've written about this, like since 2021, there's only six other tight ends that have more catches than Conklin, which is amazed me when I saw that stat. That blew me away. I would have never, ever guessed that on a trivia question. But I also like when I'm looking at sleeper tight end options, it's like, how often do they line up in the slot? And last year he was top five and lining up in the slot position as a tight end. There's not a strong number two receiving option there. If we think Aaron Rodgers plays a whole game, like I fairly feel the whole season, he will probably be a top 12 tight end.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I have Conklin. I wrote him down. Also wrote Likely down. I think he's has a legit pass catching option or they'll like, give him a legit pass catching role. Jelani Woods, if you're a believer in Richardson, which I'm not and him, but he's going to be touchdown dependent regardless, because Richardson's never going to get you like 200 yards consistently through the air. And then even that's not a lot. Right. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Juwan Johnson, I like him. This is all best ball though. So, you know,
that best ball brain.
Yeah, I don't care about that. That's best ball brain forever. Hunter Henry, I guess this is a redraft thought. Like he's someone could Hunter Henry eventually, like, could he actually have a top 10 season? I mean, I think we all think that team's not going to be very good, but we saw what Jacoby Brissett did last year. He made a couple pass catchers look good.
Hunter could be a red zone target, like the best, the favorite red zone target on the team. Like if he scores 10 plus touchdowns, he could easily be a top 10 tight end. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I don't have his, oh, here it is. You know, he had 500 yards in 2022. Last year, even he had a 419 and six touchdowns. So, I mean, I forget, it must've been 21 where he had his best season, but
yeah,
if he can stay healthy and become a favorite target of Brissett, then I think there could be some legit value with him. But, yeah.
Okay.
And I think just real quick, keeper wise, like I kind of agree with Coles. Like I wouldn't be drafting him this year, but if you're in a keeper league, take Sinnott later. Because I think next year he's going to be locked and loaded as the tight end one. Ertz won't be there.
In the entire league, T1, right?
I heard, I saw something about Ertz, how he just delays the fantasy value of his incumbent tight ends, where originally it was Dallas Goedert. Oh. And then it was last year, Trey McBride. And now this year it's Ben Sinnott.
Yep.
It's like, you know, so it's the rest
Sinnott to win it. Do you think Sinnott's going to be a tight end one in the NFL? Like, will he be like top seven?
He will be a top five tight end. Yes.
Well, especially with that team. We're so high on that team. So I love that. All right.
Sugar Shane.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. This has been our Sleepers and Keepers episode. We will be releasing a Substack with all of our picks and breakdowns. Make sure you go check that out, thefantasyroadshow.substack.com. Be on the lookout for more mock drafts. Be on the lookout for potentially some more best ball live streams. And we got some My Guys coming up. We got some more divisional breakdowns. You guys are the best roadies. Just stay tuned and buckle up.
Go watch out for Flathead Worms.
Go Tigers.